Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have a lot to talk about, and we'll get right to it. First, let me introduce our panel and then remind you how you can get in on the conversation. We begin by introducing and welcoming, he needs no introduction, but we welcome him, Dr. Alan Chartok, to the program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. I just want you to know that from the Department of Shameless Plugs, Friday night is one of my great heroes, Happy Traum, who's going to be over to the Linda, as we say, over to. In the Berkshires, we say everything takes an over to. So over to the Linda, and Roselle and I are making every attempt to get there.
Well, good luck.
Yeah,
I'm sure you'll make it, and that'll be a great event. And I know we'll hear more. I think, we'll hear. I know Graham will be on talking about that as well.
So Graham. Yeah.
Yes, we're very excited to have that event on Friday night.
Friday night.
TheLinda.org, TheLinda.org for more information. Next up is a woman who wowed them last night
on
International Women's Day.
I heard she was unbelievable, and they all knew who she was because
of WAMC.
Because of WAMC. She's a star.
How did it go? SUNY Women's International
No,
Women's
no, no,
Day.
No, no, no. It's the Capital District Mayor, Kathy Sheehan, was a
My
speaker,
apologies.
And
cool.
Me and a whole crowd of people and vendors. And yes, they all, many were WAMC fans.
Excellent.
So it was great.
Well, good. Thank you very much for flying the flag last time. That was
right.
Great.
Yeah,
I did
good.
It for women, so honestly, not for the radio station.
But did anybody ask about me?
Everyone asked about you. I told you.
They always ask about you, Alan.
They don't really ask, Libby. Don't they say, I like how you mix it up with Alan.
No,
you really put him in his place sometimes.
Right, or they say, what's it like
yes.
working
oh, that's
with
the,
Alan?
That is the question
what's it really,
you get.
What's
so
it
what's
really,
it like?
Really
you know
like?
What they want back. They don't want something nice.
Right.
They want you to dish it, you know, to say, oh, he's a terrible little guy.
I've never said that,
but I'm going to next time. Oh, he's a terrible little guy.
I always say
look
he's
at
been,
his hands.
He's been very, very good to me.
Well, that's exactly what I, and
he's
and
been
I
very,
said,
very good to me.
He has a great sense of humor.
Right.
Sorry, the little
short
hands
guy.
Thing.
Yeah, that's very good. Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just ducky.
Excellent. All right.
Really don't want to know.
So there is a there was a big upset in Michigan, and it wasn't the one that a lot of people were thinking. And that is Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Rodham Clinton in a Michigan upset. Looking at the numbers, it was an interesting defeat. Senator Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton, which prolongs the race she seemed to have locked up, although she won Mississippi handily. And so now from my understanding of this, that the Clinton campaign was not expecting this. They were expecting to win Michigan. And even you got the idea last night that Bernie Sanders was expecting to lose Michigan, but that was not the case.
Yeah, and in fact, I thought I saw somewhere that he didn't even have a victory celebration scheduled. Right. He sort of gave a little impromptu, postpartum
postpartum, really?
Yeah,
postpartum. He birthed the primary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. At the airport, I think.
Now, with that said, it was very close.
Oh, it was
very
2,000
close.
Votes. Who are they kidding?
It was 49.9% to 48.2%.
Yeah.
But a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish it didn't happen. I have to say that. And the worst part of it is now we're going to have to listen to all the gloating and the campaigns alive and all that stuff. However, Hillary ought to pay attention because she listened to pollsters. And that's a trap. I've said that a million times and fell for it myself in Michigan. That should never have been predicted as a big, big win for Hillary. Why would it be? It's filled with out of work or underemployed. Ex-auto workers. There's great discontent, great hatred of government. Why did anyone think Hillary was going to win? And the result was because she relied on that, they pulled back. They talked about this lesson. She campaigned in two or three cities. You don't win a whole state, a whole big state with 55 delegates by campaigning in two or three states. This is one of those mistakes that Hillary keeps making that keeps her from winning as much as she ought to be.
Well, I don't agree. I think she got tremendous publicity. By the way, when she did the Flint thing.
Yeah.
I take some exception, Rosemary, to something for change, something you just said, which is that I'm not going to sit back here and watch the Bernieites gloat. Now, I want to know something from you, Rosemary. Have you ever been guilty when your candidate, Hillary, wins of gloating?
No, never. I've always assessed the number of delegates and the way the game was played, and I think she's going to win, and that's what I'm gloating about.
Okay, so
but you are
my fingers are crossed,
you just
too. I'm a little
right
nervous.
Into that, Alan, I have to say. You just walked right into that. You
into
do
what?
Know that. What? Oh, did you ever gloat?
Well, you expected me to say yes, all the time.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But the thing is, we have to look at the math. I mean, that's what this comes down to. She has 1,221 delegates. He has 571. She's outnumbered him. You know, right now it's a little over 2-1. Did she? The thing is that she won Mississippi, and she did get delegates out of Michigan because it's proportional.
Right.
So she keeps edging up, and she needs another 1,000 or so to wrap this up.
Now, as a woman, Libby, do you feel any of that, you know, any of that necessity?
Womanly stuff?
The necessity to win, you know, to have the first woman president.
Well, look, I supported Obama in 2008. You know, because I thought he was a better candidate and a better chance of winning.
So this is about
about guilt. No. This is about who's the better candidate right now. And I do think it's time for us to have a woman president. But above and beyond that, you watch the debates. You look at what she's saying. She has a clear grasp of the issues, all the issues. And our presidency comes down to foreign policy. That's what it always comes down to. Who can handle the United States, who can represent the United States on the world stage, who can handle people like Vladimir Putin, like Benjamin Netanyahu, like the other world players. And Hillary has the experience to do that.
So is experience always end up meaning knowledge or being on the right side? I mean, the answer is no.
No, of course
thank
not.
Thank you. Because, well, thank you for that. Yeah. That's a tremendous admission
of
guilt.
Maybe we could go get
part.
A coffee while they not, have
no,
this
it's
quiz.
Not that. I mean, look, people would say Ted Cruz has experience. People would say Orrin Hatch has experience. And they do. That doesn't mean I'm going to support them.
I see.
But isn't it good? I don't know. I'm going to be too pie in the sky here,
but
just by the fact that when you look on the Democratic side, you have two extremely qualified candidates who are talking about issues, who are having a substantive debate, and democracy is quote unquote working, even though things may be rigged a little bit when it comes to the superdelegates. But go ahead.
Rigged.
I'm not
that
convinced.
That was a reform. That's right. Bernie talk.
Okay, but wait a second.
And I'm not convinced that Bernie has the skills on the international stage.
Just to my my point, though, but it's not, it isn't a...
Hey, look, the rules were out there. The rules were out there for anyone running to go.
Is it democracy?
Yes, it is.
I think Joe was trying to be complimentary about the way the two Democratic candidates are conducting themselves.
And that's a good point.
As a way.
Yeah, that is. I mean,
however, the whole.
Sorry,
we're all talking together.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, the other part of this is, has Bernie changed his party affiliation yet? No. He's still a registered independent. So he really can't complain about the rules of the party. Because he's not part of the party.
Well, by the way, we're getting more mail on this than anything else I've seen
sure
in a long time. Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, the chemtrails thing and, you know, conspiracy and somehow this is all conspiracy. Now, I just want to point out with the superdelegates, which is what, of course, we're talking about here, that the superdelegates were pledged to Hillary the last time. But when Obama overwhelmingly won the primaries, they went to Obama.
They went to him. Right. They did.
I swear, it's not a rigged system. That's just a phony excuse. And again, I'll say that Bernie was free to play the game the same way that she was. He chose not to do that.
Yeah. What do you mean?
He could also be courting.
Even
and
though you're yelling, you need to get that a little bit closer.
He could be, I'm not, yeah, people think I'm taking this too personally. Perhaps I am. My blood pressure is up.
We want to bring the blood pressure meter in here. Yeah. Put it right on you.
Like before and after the show, see how it goes.
I used to do it during the fun drive. It was great.
Did your blood pressure go up?
Oh, boy.
Well, it's so deep cold breaths. In here, you could hang meat, so the blood pressure.
By the way, I went out there.
Down.
I thought I changed it.
Yeah, we did change it when we came in.
A little while before it gets a little warmer in here.
Well, we'll heat things up. So let me ask the question about, we've been talking a lot about the Democrats. Let us just take a moment to talk about the Republicans. There was some thought that perhaps that Donald Trump would reverse thing, or that the polls would a reversal of fortune.
Yeah,
perhaps
we heard it was wishful thinking on the part of the New York Times and others.
Clearly, it was he had very, very decisive wins in all of those contests.
And it all comes down to this: it is really a reaction against the political class in this country. And I think that's what's helping Bernie in his quest also, that there are people who are saying, you know, we've put, you know, these people, they go out, they give speeches, they get all of that money, they do this, it's all self-serving. I watched a wonderful film the other day on television called Billy Jack Goes to Washington.
God.
In which all of this was laid out very beautifully, you know, as opposed to, you know, the foo-foo movies, which, you know, people like my wife drag me to. I don't like.
The indie spirit
films. Yeah, you got to hurt yourself to like a movie.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Carey Institute for Global Good, welcoming the second class of long-form nonfiction residents to their campus in Rensselaerville, New York. CAREYInstitute.org for more information. Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, a day-long admissions event for students interested in a bachelor's or master's in business, education, or nursing. Wednesday, April 13th, 10 to 7, msmc.edu. And Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, pressure-treated wood, and more. Design consultation available. CurtisLumber.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the group this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We've got some letters, so let's go to them.
Okay, Joe. Thank you for asking. And here. Okay. And I'm going to do this and then that. Okay. Ken says, 538.com gave Bernie 1% chance yesterday.
Right.
All we needed. Thank you, Michigan. A precursor for the REZT of the Rust Belt. Okay, that's good. Okay, now Ethan says, what does Ethan say? I don't know. Dear Roundtable, Bernie Sanders has been a major congressman and senator for 34 years. Hillary's experience as Secretary of State has given us the present situation we have in Libya and this soft coup that she was responsible for in Honduras, taking down a democratically elected president. Let's not send our young men to war with Hillary, but instead give them free educations with Bernie. Also, Bernie warned in a debate about North Korea, and he was right. Trisha says, not again. Oh, no. The HRC cheerleaders again. That's Hillary Rodham Clinton cheerleaders. That's you guys, Hillary.
That's nice. I'm fine with that.
Okay, well, fine. Fine that you're fine.
I'm fine.
Oh, no. The HRC cheerleaders again. By the way, many, if not most, of the primaries have been in the South Hillary territory, but there are some very large East and West Coast states that have not spoken. Alan, please gloat a little. Bernie did win Michigan. If the cheerleading continues, I'm turning you off and listening to the BBC. Yeah, the last thing you want to do is listen to something that may not agree with you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's the way it is. Okay. And Bill says, how is Sanders an outsider? Hasn't he been a politician his whole life in Washington, and in Washington as a congressman and senator for over 30 years?
Right. Duh. Excuse me. Yeah. That's exactly it.
No, we can't talk. We have to let them gloat.
I'm sorry,
they won this. They won. They got those votes in Michigan.
It was very close. I mean, it was really.
It was very close. That's exactly it. It was very close. It wasn't decisive.
At least one newspaper.
It wasn't even a point.
At least one newspaper this morning got it wrong, a la Chicago Tribune, because they were following the polls. Oops.
Wow, yeah. That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is bad.
Well, that's
bad.
That's a problem because they're all printing at other places, so they have to get the papers to wherever they're printing early, and they have to take their chances. You know
did you
I mean?
Read the Did you read the CNN story about CNN and the Marco Rubio getting out of the camp? Did you read that story?
No, I'm not
okay.
familiar with.
Okay, I'll bring
about.
It up during the break. But it was it's a story about 2 days ago. There was this question as to is it Jamie Gengel? On CNN reported that inside sources to the Rubio campaign say that there was strong support for him to get out prior to Florida and the sources and so forth. So Wolf Blitzer is doing this again. So apparently the chairman of the campaign, of the Rubio campaign, got in his car, went over to the studio, went into CNN, told Wolf Blitzer, I want to get on the air, got on the air, and just blew a gasket as to how there was no truth to the story. And then Wolf had to kind of backtrack a little bit. And then eventually the story just deteriorated.
Well, you know, we see it all the time. There's one political sort of guy in works for one of the right-wing newspapers who is always talking about an insider told me this and that. And a lot of it, believe me, never happens. And people give it credibility. That's their fault. Listen to me. There's a very interesting one from Ricky, who says, Alan, no one gloats more than Rosemary, except maybe Donald Trump. Oh, God. In fact, the officer who pulled her over was writing a ticket for gloating in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. When Bernie wins, it is not unexpected. Stand up, bro. Stand up to Rosemary and Libby. And that's from Rick.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Captain. And Juan says, good morning, Roundtable. What accounts for the overwhelming number of voters for the Republican primary race in Michigan versus the number for Democrats? That's true. You know, Trump got a lot more votes in this thing. And remember that one of the reasons people are thinking that Bernie may have won is that it is a crossover state. You can.
Well, that's exactly it.
You can vote in the primary.
Right. And there's a concerted effort by the Republicans to help Bernie get the nomination.
We are out of time for this break, but we'll have plenty of time on the other side of news. And we will be back right after this. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We welcome your letters next. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, as always. And we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we're going to go to... I'm sorry. I just saw a subject line that made me laugh. What about the vapor trails, as one of them says. Alan brought it up. So let's look at, well, do you want to go to some more letters and then?
Whatever you like, Joe, you're the boss.
Let's do some letters and then we'll go to some other political topics. Is there anything that anybody wants to say about the takeaway from yesterday and as we go along?
What do you mean
in
a
this,
takeaway?
What we can take away from what we learned yesterday and what this sets up for our next contests.
Yeah, well, Bernie Florida said, and Ohio
yeah,
will
and
be
Bernie
pivotal.
Said on the way out, he did say, we think we're going to do better in the upcoming places. Like right now in New York, Hillary is leading substantially. But if it's anything, if the polling goes differently, now New York is not a crossover state. So if you're a Democrat, you got to vote in a Democratic primary.
That's the way it should be.
Well, you and I have a difference of opinion
yes,
on that.
Yes, we do.
Because I think the primaries are where decisions get made. And I think the more decision-making power you give to people, the better.
Then what's the use of having a party?
Then why did you take my classes?
I did take your classes.
Yeah, that's the point.
And I didn't agree with you.
Well, I'm glad I don't have a blue book in my hand.
All right, let's
I'm
get
done.
To...
I'm done. I graduated over 30 years
let's
ago.
Let's get
Thank
to
you.
Letters.
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It does.
Susan says, the problem with Hillary's wins. Yes, Hillary's won all the primaries in the South and their delegates, but we know that the Democrats are not going to win those states in the general election. Isn't this a serious problem in determining her ability to get elected? Rosemary.
Yeah, I think that is a problem. She has to expand the base. She has to get more white people, basically, and young people and young women. Yes.
Okay, so that was that one. And Ethan says, I hope I didn't read one from Ethan already. As a democracy, all of us should keep up with the earned delegates for each candidate. I don't care about superdelegates because that can change if one candidate gets the majority of earned delegates. Okay. There's a lot of talk about, from our listeners, I did a Vox Pop yesterday, I heard it over and over again, about the superdelegates. I can only say I'm not a big worrier about that. Bernie. Alan, I'm a staunch Bernie Sanders supporter, but I feel in my heart that he may be pushing his idea of a democratic socialism country a bit too fast. What Bernie should do is to slowly bring his ideas to the people and show them how socialism would affect them. It's from John. Now, this is very interesting because I noticed in his victory speech at the airport or wherever he was, he kept using the word revolution.
He's got
now,
to stop.
I don't know about that. I don't think that that is a very wise thing to do to the American public. But maybe I'm underestimating the word or what the American public want.
If he's the nominee, the Republicans will use that word over and over and over again to brand
socialist
him as
and
a commie pinko. And just destroy him. And he doesn't understand that. And the optics on this, they just don't understand what they're saying and how people can use it against them. It's really something. It's like Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. They don't understand how what they're saying can be used against them.
Well, maybe what Bernie is doing is what he wants to do from the very beginning. Which is to do this the way, because, you know, when you start talking about the banks controlling everything, too big to fail, letting them off the hook, you know, after the great crises and the rest of that stuff, he may be well within his purview, and people may understand that. I mean, you know, some kid goes into a grocery store with a make-believe gun, and they're going to jail for a long time. Yet there are the banks who have been ripping people off left and right.
Absolutely.
And who get away with it.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's do two more letters, and then we'll go to another topic, and then we'll, before our break.
Okay. Thomas, I can see what the answer to this one's going to be. Enough with Bernie not having foreign policy experience. Obama did not have any experience either. Please, Libby, can we stop with the same old argument about Bernie not having foreign policy experience? President Obama did not have any real foreign policy experience either. He is smart enough to surround himself with smart people who do have that experience, just like Obama did. Deborah says, oh, yeah, that's different. Deborah's reporting in on a new contract that she got. Underwriting contract. Okay, Bert says, I'd love to hear each panelist's opinion on whether or not they feel Bernie Sanders is sexist or has ever been. Further, are appeals to sexist tendencies in voters helping him in some way? I don't see it.
I don't think he's a sexist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I'm pretty sensitive to that sort of thing, but I don't see it.
No, you are?
No. Yeah, I'm very sensitive. I think voters are sexist, but I don't think Bernie Sanders is.
But there's somebody who's being quiet in the room.
I think that just like every other guy in his position, he will fall back into the stereotype, the socialization that he's had. Just like all of us have been socialized, we white people have racism inside of us. I think all men have sexism inside of them. It really has to do with how it's expressed. I think the other night, excuse me, I'm talking, wagging the finger. People called it his Rick Lazio moment. I don't think it was as bad as that, but it just sort of shows, you know, that he has that tendency.
Well, we've had this out before.
Yes, we did.
And
okay,
Libby, I want to know something.
Yes, dear.
Because based on what you've just said, and by the way, stop with the yes, dear thing, because that's condescending.
It is. yes, dear.
Gee, I don't think she meant it that way at all.
It was loving and...
No, I didn't
stuff.
Think that's the way she meant it. But Joe, I couldn't let it go by.
No, absolutely.
Just call her sweetie. That'll get you right.
Okay, but look.
Honey buns. Yes.
But look, here's the thing about this. I think I heard you just say, I may be wrong, that all men are dogs.
No, I did not say all men are dogs.
You just said, he's like all other men. He'll fall back. We haven't seen it yet.
All men
but he'll
are
fall
socialized. All men, there is sexual stereotyping. We all have our socializations. There's all this institutionalized racism, homophobia, sexism. Some men act on it a lot because they think it's their privilege and they're right, and some men don't.
Okay, I think that's a little extreme, I have to admit.
Well, this is my feminist politics coming out.
Right, I think that Bernie wagged his finger and said that because he's been in the top echelons of government for 30 years. He is used to being heard. He is not used to being talked over. So, of course he did that. It had to do with privilege, but that's
well,
not
that's,
the same.
Well, he would have done it. He hadn't finished his point.
I interrupt you all the time. You've never wagged your finger at me, Alan.
Because
of course,
I'd
bite it off if you did.
I value my fingers.
Right. Yes.
And you're not on national television.
But they are.
The digits he came
but they
with.
Are little fingers.
Thank you for fessing that up. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll get to other subjects. We have many, and we'll return right after this.
Support for WAMT comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Subsidium Technologies, a single point of contact for area enterprises to identify cloud-related technology. SubsidiumTech.com. And Spicer Art Conservation. Art conservation of textiles, objects, paper, and upholstery, serving private owners and institutions since 1995. Treating heirlooms and antiquities, SpicerArt.com.
Back to the roundtable. Very nice to have you on the program. All right, let's go to other subjects. We have a lot going on, and I want to get to the other things that are happening in this world of ours. The shooting, the police shooting of Oregon occupier declared justified, but the FBI faces an inquiry. This from yesterday, investigators said that Oregon state officers had acted properly when they shot and killed Lavoy Finicum, one of the activists who occupied a wildlife range in Oregon this year, but federal officials have opened an inquiry into the actions of FBI agents for not disclosing that they also fired shots during the confrontation.
I thought you were talking about the Occupy Wall Street people. So
no.
Yeah. Yeah,
We talked about this when it. Do you remember when it first happened?
Yes.
And we were looking at the video, and we said then you can't really tell everything that's happening. It was shot from a helicopter down, so the sound is right. Distorted. You can't see people on the police side what they're doing. I'm glad there's an investigation. I don't approve of what they did, but people don't deserve to die over these things. And there's different ways to handle arrests and taking over occupied space without killing people.
Well, it has to do with whether or not they shot the occupiers were doing some of the shooting too.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And whether
absolutely.
Or not he grabbed
and we don't
a
know
gun,
that.
And we don't,
yeah.
you know, because it, some reports had him grabbing a gun and all that sort of stuff. So it will, you know, the investigation will show what it shows, but based on the bias of the people doing the investigation.
I can't answer. It's just too cold in here.
Yeah, I know. It is freezing.
No,
freezing,
so
you know?
Cold.
And I'll bet somebody in the newsroom who may be listening to this may go out there and change it, which I
we're
tried
shivering.
To do before.
There's climate change. Yeah. There really is
climate change.
It's right here in the newsroom.
Well, it's 70. It's up to 75.
Yeah,
really?
Well, it ain't no 75
in here.
No, I mean,
okay.
It's beautiful.
It reminds me of Rocky in the
meat
room.
Yeah. All right.
It's absolutely stunning outside,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, it's
really
gorgeous.
Great.
Okay,
yeah.
Moving on to our next subject. Are mass shootings
yes.
contagious? I thought this was an interesting story.
Fascinating.
Some scientists who study how viruses spread say yes. A man had just gone on shooting rampage in Kalamazoo, Michigan, allegedly killing six people while driving for Uber. Sherry Towers, an Arizona State University physicist who studies how viruses spread, worried while watching the news coverage. Last year, Towers published a study using mathematical models to examine whether mass shootings like viruses are contagious. She identified a 13-day period after high-profile mass shootings when the chance of another spikes. Her findings are confirmed more frequently than she would like. 5 days after Kalamazoo, a man in Kansas shot 17 people, killing three by firing from his car. The Towers, that next shooting seemed almost inevitable.
Well, now, virus is, you know, I mean, if you're next to somebody who's got a virus and they sneeze on you, you probably get a cold. Okay, you might well get a cold. At least that's what we keep getting told. This is a little different in that it's not viral, but what it
it's
is
copycat.
Is copycat.
Yeah.
You see it happen. You say, well, that guy got a lot of attention. I'd like to get a lot of attention.
What's so upsetting about this story is that there is a federal ban on using federal funds to doing any kind of gun violence research. That's
right.
outrageous.
NRA. Big NRA
right.
push.
That is so outrageous.
And you are right. What I worry about is that we will be faster to violate the First Amendment and say, okay, don't report this stuff.
Right.
And journalists, you know, have done this before. We don't report on suicide to the extent that it happens because we're afraid of copycat. And yet we won't take the step and institute gun laws that might perhaps we research to find out what would work.
Right.
And then put them in.
Right.
And the argument is, oh, we don't know what would work. That wouldn't work. Well, we're not doing research to find out what
right.
would.
And the idea that the federal government has banned it because of the NRA pushing this through Congress is criminal. From my perspective, what happens with these people shooting and feeling like, oh, I can do better than the next guy, or he got all this attention, or she got the attention, or whatever it is, it's sickness. It really is. And I think that's why they're calling it some kind of a virus. But it's interesting to watch the sequence that they happen in clusters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I really thought after Columbine, we were done.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, because it was such a horrible thing. And we were done for a very long time. And then it all came about
again.
Another
new cycle. Another
new cycle. And it's just astounding and incredibly disturbing that this is what we've come down to.
Speaking of incredibly disturbing, and yet, in this case, hilariously funny, was the article in the Washington Post about how International Women's Day was celebrated by male leaders around the world. I have to say...
The mansplain,
right.
Yes,
that this was a... what they did is they went around the world and looked at how various leaders throughout the world celebrated or tried to commemorate International Women's Day. It begins with Vladimir Putin, who wrote a letter that said, "Dear women, from all my heart, I congratulate you on International Women's Day."
Now get back to work.
You must possess a
mysterious power. You keep up with everything, juggle a myriad of tasks, and yet remain tender, unforgettable, and full of charm.
Oh my God.
The Turkish president, who has previously said he doesn't believe that men and women are equal, weighed in on gender equality and said, "I know there will be some who will be annoyed, but for me, a woman is above all a mother."
In Cambodia, the Prime Minister Sen, better known for savaging his political enemies than joking about family life, said many men in Cambodia are oppressed by wives who do not let them go to wedding parties for fear that they would eye prettier women.
Okay, so remember when I was talking about sexual stereotypes and institutional sexism? Here we go. This is it.
And then finally, there was a call by the Indian Prime Minister for women in Parliament to make some noise, and then they didn't hear anything because there really were no.
You know, it is astounding, isn't it, how much of the politics, global politics, have to do with control of women.
Mm-hmm.
We see it here, but it's much more muted than in places like Turkey or India. And control of women is the first step to authoritarian rule, and that's why I think you see it. They're easier to control because of their children, mostly. They want to protect their families. And so reproductive function and work function is controlled unbelievably. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the reasons that I am a supporter of Hillary Clinton. I think she recognized this long ago and has called for women to come together and to stop this.
We have a lot of letters, and I want to get to as many as we can in our final 8-10 minutes. Yes, let's go.
Okay, so John says, Libby should know better than to say, quote, all men have a certain view on women. My wife would disagree. Our sons were raised to respect all women and treat all people with respect. And that's from John in Gansford.
And I believe sons may be God's revenge for those on feminists. Were...
Hey, look, I've got a son who's a great man. He's a mensch.
So are my three, I hope.
Right, you know?
And for those of you who are listening to the radio and find us at a little lower power, that's apparently because Verizon got up to our transmitter and is making some adjustments. I don't mind that as long as they tell us first.
Did they?
No, not okay. according to the information I'm getting. Kevin says, I think it is absurd to say that Trump will have an easier time beating Sanders than he would beating Hillary in the general election. Trump's strengths, including being perceived as telling it like it is and being forthright, play to every one of Hillary's major weaknesses. Bernie, on the other hand, is stronger on those very issues, the same issues that will influence a very important independent vote he demonstrated in Michigan.
I think any Democrat who underestimates Trump's ability is making a big, giant mistake, Bernie or Hillary.
On the question of revolution, hello, folks. Chris Hedges is among several pundits who have advocated for, quote, revolution in capital letters, meaning all citizens must get involved in the governmental process to assert what is just. All right, thank you. And then I very much respect Libby Post, but her comment regarding a concerted effort by Republicans to cross over and support Sanders in hopes of derailing Clinton is largely water cooler banter. After making a concerted effort to find any credible journalistic sources for this strategic sabotage, which I've heard floated, but never substantiated by several Clinton supporters and surrogates, I can find none. All right. And then Laura says, so, yes, dear, it's condescending, but I wish I had a blue book in my hand. Is not. No, that has to do with being a teacher. The panelists are not undergraduates in poli-sci class, and neither are the listeners. Either all things are fair game and taken off with a sense of humor or respect is due to all participants. I vote for respect, says Laura.
I don't think any of us feel disrespected. We know each other. And,
yeah.
Right, we like each other. That's why
I just read the letters. I don't agree with them. And then Bernie says, I take a backseat to no one as I'm a born feminist and will die a born feminist. There are some things that are not sexist, and Bernie Sanders wagging his finger and saying, I'm talking, isn't one of them. People of every gender, every race, every religion, every whatever, always in the heat of argument, stop an interruption by saying, I'm not finished, or I'm talking, or let me finish. Please, my sisters, let us make and keep our male allies and consider that every attempt to shush us up is not sexism. If he had added a sexist slur or invective, as so many male supremacists do, that would be sexist. Best wishes to all on the panel. Thank you, Carol. And then let's see here. And then Don says, the good with two stars around it, solution would be for candidates' microphones to be turned off when they're not supposed to be speaking. Then those who can't play by the rules will be silently wagging their chins and looking the worse for it.
I don't know about that.
Well, it is, but it also takes some of the, you know, back and forth out of it. And somebody will be accused of not playing fair.
I think the solution is to have fewer debates on both sides, Republican and Democrat. I mean, I'm a junkie on this political stuff, and I'm getting tired. We got another one coming up.
Yeah, Thursday, right?
Okay, and so says, I just mentioned this from Bethany Sandrum. Good morning. Impossible static today on the roundtable, hoping to compare to the next segment. Crazy. Can barely hear your voices. Yeah, I've already announced that Verizon is up on the mountain and is doing something up there. They have to be very careful when they climb the tower. Otherwise, you know, they might not have children again.
Ouch.
So therefore, you know, they close it down. But as again, I think notice is very
important.
Very
visual metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So Suzanne says
one doesn't want to lose their tower.
Exactly. Maybe those of you who are on the panel don't need a revolution because you have access to food, steady employment, affordable college education, housing, health care, clean water, etc. Those of us who do not have access to your privileges hear Bernie say the word revolution, and we say it's about damn time. You may not need a revolution. I do. The issue here, not that I want to take this on, is that I think the panel was saying it will not be good for him politically to use the word revolution.
Yes. That's all. Right. Okay. That's what the issue is. And the Republicans will do with it.
We have 30 seconds.
Okay. And then Craig says, Rosemary, I don't think I ever heard Bernie tell his sons they should never strike a woman, but support police officers slapping a boy. Craig, what?
I have said that I've taught my kids they may never touch a woman, may never hit a woman in violence.
Right.
It's a good point.
And I said I felt like slapping a police officer. I never did it. It's a different thing.
Okay.
They have memories, don't
it's
they?
It's the thought police.
Yeah, they have. They're bringing back everything I ever said. Holy
right.
cow.
People have long, they're all elements.
All right. We are,
and they have no sense of humor either.
We are out of time, and we'll be back tomorrow for another round. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, and always good to hear from you. Alan, Rosemary, Libby, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll be back and continue with the program after this short break.